The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Care and protection for the whole family's health at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Let's go back to that story on the front page of the Irish Times. And I'm joined now by Jack Horgan-Jones, who's a political reporter with the Irish Times. Jack, good morning.
Morning, Brendan.
Jack, you're covering this story about the idea of them looking into maybe vaccinating the under 30s next after the over 60s, I guess. What's the story here?
So what the Minister for Health has said is that he's asked his officials to look at the possibility that you would vaccinate once you move through the vulnerable cohort. So it's important to note this. This wouldn't
so
be immediate.
So the risky and the high risk,
Would still be done first. That's the sense I'm getting. But once you get through those cohorts and move into the age-based approach, so you'd be looking around June time, the idea would be if there is merit to looking at doing people between 20 and 30 before you do people between 30 and 50 or 30 and 60. Now, the idea underpinning that, I suppose, is that if you do those people who may be socializing more, then you may nip in the bud any further waves of disease, which tend, generally speaking, to originate in younger people and spread into older people. And there would be a kind of relatively high clinical bar to clear here, because while there is some evidence emerging that vaccination stops or interrupts chains of transmission, there is a much bigger body of evidence and a much more established body of evidence which says that there are more severe outcomes associated with age. So deviating from that older first, younger later kind of prototype, I think there will be quite a bar to clear.
It was in 3-4 weeks ago that we kind of pivoted and said age is now the major determinant, and they spent a week telling us why age was the most important thing because age determined the outcomes.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's why, as I say, there'll be a high barrier to clear for this policy. But I think also you have to look at the political angle of it as well. Let's park the clinical side of it for a moment. There would be an argument, I think, to be made that people between 20 and 30 have had one of the roughest times in the pandemic. They've had the most curtailed life experiences, whether that's just socializing or whether it's educational, and that this would be a kind of dividend from the vaccination program for these people that would have other dividends associated with it, perhaps the restarting of in-person third level education. And perhaps as these people are vaccinated and able to socialize more freely, there will be an economic dividend associated as well for the hospitality sector, and just a kind of lifestyle, mental health bonus as well for those people aged between 20 and 30 who have effectively, even though they're not at risk of severe outcomes, been cooped up for over a year to protect those who are.
Yeah, and of course, look, the younger people and lower paid people have been the people hardest hit economically by this as well. But then, obviously, people in their 30s are going to have their reasons why they say they've suffered uniquely. You know, everyone has kind of suffered uniquely. Jack, will you stay with us? And I want to bring in Dr. Fidelma Fitzpatrick now. And Fidelma is a senior lecturer at the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland and a consultant microbiologist at Beaumont Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Fitzpatrick. What do you make of this potential kind of pivot in the strategy?
Yeah, I must say I was surprised when I read the headlines, because the national strategy has all been based on, well, first of all, evidence and then harm reduction. And no matter what way you cut it, whether you look at risk of hospitalisation, risk of ending up in ICU or risk of dying, as you get a bit older, your risk of all of that increases. So that, you know, when you're, I hate to say it, as a middle-aged woman my age, in my 50s and above, because we accumulate comorbidities, we're more likely to do badly than when I was in my 20s. So certainly from the national strategy, as outlined by NIAC and the evidence, definitely there is much more evidence to support vaccinating people that are more likely to end up in hospital, in ICU and dying. Now, the second part of this is when you get a vaccine, it does two things. It protects you, and there's very good evidence that it protects you against severe infection and from ICU and dying. But also, actually, there's pretty good evidence now that it also protects other people. And that's coming out from lots of studies all around the world. So you could look at the headlines today and say, okay, well, maybe that's looking at that evidence.
The idea would be, Fidelma, that we hit the reservoir of disease, if you like, where it's more likely to be spreading, rather than hitting with vaccination the people who are most likely to suffer an adverse consequence. Is it?
So that's the only rationale I could see for it.
And does that seem rational to you?
Having spent the last year and a half in a hospital looking after really sick people with COVID and seeing the long-term consequences of it, I don't see the evidence really to support that. I think there's more evidence to support what they're doing at the moment.
But that's
what I was trying to say is, if you have to ask for evidence to do that, you're assuming that nobody over 30 socialises, and you are assuming then that that's where the majority of the transmissions are. And that very well may be. However, they're not people that will generally end up in hospital. So it's to do with what you're trying to do with the national vaccination strategy. And there is good news from the literature, actually, because there will be a tipping point here. So there's a preprint up at the moment from Israel, and they looked at different communities, and they looked at vaccination rates in different communities in their country. And as the rates of vaccination went up in a particular community area, the rates of COVID infection in people that didn't get the vaccine went down. So there is that tipping point that when enough people are vaccinated, actually the circulating virus goes down and down.
Yeah, and I think Neffet did say on Thursday night that we might be beginning to see just a little bit of the effect of vaccination in the general population now, in the population that hasn't been vaccinated. So we will have a tipping point there at some stage.
Yeah. Look at the healthcare worker data. Like, if you want positivity, that's so we started vaccinating in my hospital at the end of December, and same in most other hospitals. Look at the HBSC data for January, and the proportion of cases in healthcare workers and the number of cases in healthcare workers fell off a cliff by about week 3 and week 4. And that's fantastic. And again, you know, when we're looking and seeing what's happening with the hospital admissions, of course that reflects what everybody's doing and staying at home and reducing transmission. But it also reflects the vaccination programme kicking off. Look at every other country and what they're reporting. Like, there actually is lots of evidence now that as a vaccination programme kicks off, your hospital admissions reduce, your severe infections reduce, and countries that have kicked off are now beginning to reopen their societies.
Okay, Fidelma, your line is pretty bad, so I think we're going to try and call you back and get you again, if that's okay. But I'm glad you made that point about that the broader story here is a very good story. Harry McCann, you're a final year student in UCC. Good morning.
Good morning, man.
I see you're tweeting today that this makes a lot of sense, this idea of vaccinating the under 30s next. You say young people more likely to find themselves in social situations with large groups due to school, college, living arrangements, etc. But as Fidelma alluded to there, there does seem to be an idea here that anyone over 30 just goes to the shop and goes to mass and that's it, and that they don't need to be out and about at all.
No, look, I think my point being, and look, I think that the first thing here is, look, anybody who's vulnerable and who needs a vaccine should get the vaccine first, I think.
And I think that's a given in all this, yeah.
Yeah, and it is. And look, I'm not saying that you should line up all the 18 and 20-year-olds and give them vaccines so they can go out and party. I think what I'm saying is that I think, from my point of view, if there's a situation where the HSE and the experts believe that we are the main spread or the main cause of spread of COVID-19, then we should vaccinate to avoid that spread. Unfortunately, given the way of life that we have with education, with living arrangements, I live in student accommodation, and unfortunately, no matter how hard you try, you're still with groups of people that you wouldn't necessarily be with if you're living at home. You know, it's just the way we are. So unfortunately, there is a likelihood that you will bump into people, there'll be bigger spreads, and there'll be bigger close contacts.
Yeah, because I think...
HSE believe.
I think, Harry, a lot of people are suggesting today that are we going to now reward young people for their bad behaviour and for socialising and for being out and about and everything, but you're saying it's not like that.
No, and I think that's a lazy excuse, to be honest. I think we've really tried our hardest and our utmost. A lot of people have to blame young people for the spread of COVID-19 due to carelessness and recklessness over the last few months, but it's simply not the case. And I think what I find the most humorous part about this is we often see these pictures of crowds of students in parks and out socialising and doing whatever else. But you walk by a park or a playground and you see children and their parents doing the exact same thing, just older people who are assumed to be more responsible. And I think, unfortunately, for some reason, the rhetoric seems to be that young people, as I said, are being careless and reckless. But it's not the case.
Yeah.
I think in most cases, we stayed at home to stay safe and keep older people safe, you know, in large parts. And if this is what, this is the next step, to vaccinate us to keep other people safe and ourselves safe, then why not? I don't think it's rewarding people for recklessness, and I think that's a lazy excuse, to be honest.
Now, listen, I don't want to be unfair to you here, Harry, right? But you know, let's say, God forbid, none of this happens. Your chances, if you got COVID, of dying from COVID would be 0.1%. My chances of dying from COVID, if I got COVID, would, I think, be 1.7%. So I am 17 times more likely than you to die if I get COVID. Should I not get a vaccine before you?
Oh, and look, absolutely. And I don't believe that if I got COVID and I could, look, it's not being, as you said, it's just the statistics back it up, but I'm young, I'm fit and I'm healthy, and I believe that I'd be able to fight it, and I hope I would. But what I'm saying is, I think what the HSE and what Minister Donnelly is saying here is that we are causing the spread, and we may cause it to spread to people who are more vulnerable and put them at a greater risk. So what I'm saying, I think the bigger picture here is we are willing to do whatever it takes to keep the most vulnerable safe. And if it is vaccinating the younger people to avoid the spread.
Fair play, Harry. You're willing to roll up your sleeves to help the older people. Nothing to do with wanting to go on holidays to Greece in August or anything like that.
we couldn't if we wanted to anyway, you know. This is the thing, like, us getting vaccinated sooner rather than later, I don't think will change anything other than the fact that until the majority of people are vaccinated, then the society and the economy will reopen. I don't actually think us getting vaccinated sooner will change much for us in the longer term.
I don't know about that, Harry. It does look increasingly as if people who have been vaccinated will have a lot more options in life than people who haven't. Dr. Fidelma Fitzpatrick is back on there now on a better line, hopefully. So Fidelma, two things, I guess, there. Just to what we were just saying there, which is a kind of a by the way, do you think people who have been fully vaccinated are going to have a lot more options in life over the next 6 months?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But before I go down that line, I think we have to stop the rhetoric of blaming younger people. I can't believe I'm at in this age of my life that I'm now not a young person, but there you
go. I know.
Because I think it detracts from the point. Like, I work with young people. Most of our junior doctors are young people. I teach young people in the College of Surgeons. And in general, most younger people have been absolutely fantastic. Because remember, they come with parents and grandparents and aunts like me also, and they want to protect. So I really feel very strongly we have to stop the rhetoric of trying to blame somebody and just go back to, we are all in this together, unfortunately. We can't do anything about it. It's a worldwide pandemic. We are getting there. And I do think that, as I said before, I apologies about the line, we will get to that tipping point. And we've seen it for sure in the hospital data. We've absolutely seen it in the nursing home data. Other countries have seen it. So
and
we
at the rate we're going right now, Fidelma, when do you think we might see that tipping point occur?
Oh, God, that's a million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Like, I could give you my opinion, but there's too many opinions these days, to be honest with you. But definitely we're going in the right way. The number of hospitalised cases are slowly going down. The number of people in ICU are slowly going down. And as more and more people get vaccinated, not only are they protected, but the chances of them spreading it to other people, and that's all evidence-based, will reduce. So we are getting there. But I do really feel, I'm sorry, I know you didn't want me to talk about young people, but I really feel strongly we have blaming people.
Yeah, young people is what we're talking about. So then on that, is there an argument to be made on what Jack was saying about young people and their lives and how much they've suffered, and what Harry is saying there about the way they have to live, that a lot of them live in and are educated in more communal settings? Is there an argument then that we should look at getting them out the gate first in vaccination?
I think we need to stick to the evidence.
Yeah, okay.
Because when we stick to the evidence, that's where we have a good strategy. So if we look at the evidence, the national strategy is reducing harm, essentially, rather than cases. And that's important. Of course, they're linked, but that's important. This is a horrible disease. And when you get it, you could get very sick, you could die. But even when you recover, you get complications from it. So we just need to stick to the evidence. And the evidence does change from day to day. And that's very difficult. It's difficult as a clinician to try and manage. But it's also very difficult when you're reading the headlines and they change from day to day. In the 20-odd years I've been qualified, I've never seen the likes of this. Literally, you do something one day and a newspaper comes out that evening. And you go, oh, okay, well, we better change strategy. But that's fine, because that's what we're doing. Yeah. We're changing strategy. But once we keep to the evidence, then we're fine.
And apparently we heard a lot during the week that we've changed the vaccine strategy 25 times. We've had to tweak it now. But this would seem like that we've brought this tweak on ourselves in a way. Listen, thank you very much, Dr. Fidelma Fitzpatrick.
Thank you. And
thank you very much, Harry McCann. So I would say that people texting to 51551, the people in their 50s are probably going either way on this. There's Trish says she's in her 50s. She has three young adults under 30, children, I presume. I'd much rather they were vaccinated, she said. They've given up so much, as have we, but I firmly believe if this age group were done, I would feel much safer. Eileen says, Brendan, livid about us people in our 50s. We're doing the isolation and now a slap in the face. And there's an angry boomer here. Brendan, there's a vendetta against us born in the 60s. When we left school, there was no work and we had to emigrate. When it was time to buy a house, mortgage rates were 14% and higher. When we got a job, tax rates went to 48%. When we were finding our feet, there was a recession. Now we're thinking of retirement. There's a pandemic and now no vaccine. I rest my case. That's Tom and Carlo. And I wish I had Harry McCann, final year student in UCC, still on the line there to say, OK, boomer. And there's more angry boomers coming in now as we speak. But let's take a break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.